And I think about, as I was thinking about that this week, often in our lives and in our this culture, Christmas can seem like it's all about the gifts, you know? Everyone puts so much effort into procuring gifts and wrapping gifts and giving gifts. And you've probably heard people say during those times, we've lost the true meaning of Christmas. Has anybody ever heard that before? We've lost the true meaning of Christmas. And because it becomes all about the gifts. Well, tonight we hope to redeem some of that. And the way we're going to redeem that is by looking at how God himself was actually the first gift giver on Christmas. So you wonder, wow, we give gifts. Is that really what we should be doing? Well, God was the first gift giver. And he gave the greatest gift of all as we look at that tonight. Jesus was the first Christmas gift ever given to mankind and given to us. So when you give gifts on Christmas, consider this, that you are actually following in the footsteps of God when you give gifts. Think about it that way, who gave Jesus Christ to you. So let's stand as the our special worship team comes forward, and we'll sing, open us up with a couple Christmas carols. And as I mentioned, if you did not get a program, you'll definitely get to need it. We're not going to use overheads tonight. Everything's in the program, and we will begin worship together. We want to give them something special, don't we? And we want to give them what they want. I know my daughter texted me this week and said, "Dad, what should we get you for Christmas?" And I said, "Coffee and chocolate." And she said, "Seriously, Dad? That's all you ever want?" And we were discussing this later, and my wife actually said, "Yep, you know, chocolate, coffee and a newspaper, and I'm a happy camper." That's about all I need. So we're upping our game this year, actually, in the coffee production, in that they're getting me a conical burr grinder for coffee bean, for the freshest, best cut ground coffee beans on the planet. So we're stepping up there. But why do we go all that trouble to pick just the right gifts for people? It's because when we give gifts, we do it out of love, don't we? We love our family, we love the people that we're giving gifts to, and we want to pick the right gifts for them because we do it out of love. And have you ever thought about that? That Jesus was God's loving gift to you. He gave Jesus on this night, on Christmas Eve, because out of his love, out of his great love for you. He did it out of love. From God's heart to you. The famous passage in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave" whom? Jesus, his one and only Son, "that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Jesus was given out of love. For God so loved the world. That was his motivation. That's why he did it. Because he cared for us and wanted to give the greatest gift that he could. He gave the gift of Jesus Christ. Jesus was given out of love. As we just read in Matthew 1:21, the angel told Joseph, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins." God gave us that gift. Why? So that in believing we might have eternal life. Let's pray as we open up this time, and we'll gather and sing a couple more songs. Father, we tell you this morning that we're in awe of your love for us, just like we give gifts out of our heart to people because of our love for them, Lord. You gave your Son, God, for us, out of your heart, because you loved us. Lord, let that truth sink into our lives that it might motivate us to give to others as you have given to us. And we commit this service to you in remembrance of your great love and your gift of Jesus. In your Son's name, amen. After these two songs, you guys can sit down. Okay. Mm-hmm.
God rest you merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power. Certain shepherds.
The second reading. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel."
What to get for gifts for Christmas, always at the last minute, at least for me, to make that Christmas Day deadline, that Christmas Eve deadline. And this week I was ticking off my particular gift-seeking responsibilities, which was very minimal. My wife carried the heavy-duty burden. I just had a few things that was my responsibility to do. And, we often live such busy lives that we try to cram this stuff into the last minute because it's above and beyond what we normally do. And for me, it's typically last-minute planning. I know some of you in this congregation are probably more organized than me and actually have things planned out ahead of time. And those of you that do, you know, especially if you're able to actually put more forethought into the gifts that you give, you're able to maybe mid-May or early May or in the summer actually even start thinking about, boy, what do I want to give this person for Christmas? And when you do that, your gifts have the potential to be more meaningful, don't they? Because you're giving extra attention, extra thought, extra forethought into planning that. And, well, as I thought about our gift from God, God did not do last-minute shopping. The birth of Christ wasn't even a gift that had been thought about even earlier in the year, but what we see through Scripture, from all the way from Genesis all the way through to the birth of Christ, we see that God had planned for that very moment when he would give us that gift. He had planned for all of humanity. Imagine if you spent your whole life planning a gift for somebody that you loved. How great that gift would be. And God did that for you when Jesus was born. The first thing we read was that the birth of Christ, Barbara just read, took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. And this was the prophet Isaiah. And the prophet said, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. That quotation is from Isaiah 7:14 in the Old Testament, which was written 700 years B.C., 7 centuries before Jesus Christ was born. Later in our reading, when King Herod asked the Jewish leaders where the Messiah would be born, they again quoted prophecies, this time from Micah, when they answered, "For this is what the prophet has written, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Micah also, that was from Micah 5:2, was also written 700 years B.C., before Christ was even born, and specifically prophesied that Bethlehem would be the birthplace of Christ. We talked about this in Trek this fall, all the prophecies about Jesus, even down to his birth, different prophecies like where he would be born. And he would be born to be ruler and shepherd given to the world. The point is this, that when sin entered the world into humanity, way back at the beginning, God already had a plan to give the gift to us of Jesus Christ. It was a mystery for centuries, kind of like some of your gifts. I don't know, kids, some of you guys, do you ever, you know that your parents bought you a gift but you don't know what it is. You know it's like wrapped. You might even know where in the house it's located. But it's a mystery what that gift is until you unveil it. It's the same thing for centuries. People knew that God was planning to give this great gift. And it was a mystery to them. They didn't know what this gift would look like until Christmas night when Jesus Christ was born. The time was right and the mystery was revealed. The long-planned gift was finally given to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Let's just take a moment and bow in prayer and just have a moment of corporate prayer. And you may have never seen this on a Christmas Eve service, but just where a few of you pray and thank God for that long-planned gift. And then I'll close this up. Amen, Father. We thank you for your long thought out gift, your thoughtful gift that was a mystery for centuries. Thank you that we live on this side of Christmas, that we know the mystery was revealed in your Son, Jesus Christ. Perfect gift out of love and long planned for us, for our good. We thank you. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our music isn't cooperating. There will be words for the part that Anna sings, and if you feel like you'd like to join along, be our guest.
The third reading. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Thank you. The wise men that we read about understood how precious that Jesus was, and they traveled far to see him, and they brought their greatest treasures, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. C.S. Lewis understood this well when he wrote, "Once in our world, a stable had something in it that was bigger than our whole world. Once in our world, a stable had something bigger in it that was, or something in it that was bigger than our whole world." Another gentleman, Handel H. Brown, a Presbyterian pastor and author, wrote, "The early Christians did not rejoice because of better things to come. They rejoiced because Christ had come." They didn't rejoice because they were looking forward to better things to come. They rejoiced because the best had come. The best had already come, and that was Jesus Christ. You know how when kids are little, parents often save, and some of you guys have some little kids still, you might do this, you save the best to last, right? Maybe you can remember when you were a kid and your parents gave you gifts. You save the best to last, right? You start with the stocking stuffers, you know, and the an orange and different stuff. They throw that aside. And then you move up to, like, the small gifts, you know, clothes. You know, they open the, except for some of the girls really want that, but they open the clothes, they open some of the bigger gifts. And then when all is done and all the rest of the stuff is open, then you bring out the big gift, you know, the big one. And the mother load, you know, you can, and you always save that to last, you know, and that's when parents take out their cameras and they get everything ready, and the kids open the gift and they go, you know, and they say, "Wow, I always wanted that." And it's really a glorious thing when it happens, and parents often catch that on tape because they want to replay that. And do you realize that that is what happened when God gave Jesus Christ to us on Christmas? John wrote in the gospel, in his gospel, this is John 1:14, "The Word," that was Jesus, "became flesh and dwelt among us." And that's kind of the moment. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Wow! This is the big one, the big gift. The glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The gift of Jesus was God's big one, his best gift. Romans 8:31 emphasizes this, and 32, when it says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will we not also freely give us all things?" And when we think of these verses, we think often of the cross. But the cross started with the birth of Christ on Christmas. That is when God gave the gift and set the plan in motion for Jesus to come and to die for us. He loves us. He planned to help us. And on Christmas, he gave us his best gift that he could give. Let's just take a few moments and just now in personal prayer, just in the privacy of your own, of the pew that you're sitting at, just bow your heads and just take a moment and pray as our soloists come up to prepare. Before we pray, I will say that in your program, it says Ruthie is going to be singing, but she is sick, so her sister's taking her place. So why don't you just bow your heads and just take a moment in prayer and thank the Lord for his best gift for you. And then Ruthie will sing for us. I mean, Abby.
Fourth reading. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel."
Simeon was moved by the Holy Spirit and understood who Jesus was, just like the wise men. He understood the glory of God in sending Jesus Christ as Messiah and King and Shepherd. He said, "My eyes have seen your salvation," because to see Jesus was to see salvation. And Jesus' parents marveled at this. We look at in verse 33, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. They marveled at this. Simeon prophesied what was to come. He said, after that, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many to Israel." In other words, some will fall by rejecting God's gift, and some would rise by accepting and believing in Jesus. And then Simeon went on to say, "And to be a sign to be spoken that will be spoken against." In other words, this was going to be no walk in the park with Jesus coming. This was going to be no walk in the park. This would be a great struggle to come over Jesus, Simeon predicted. "The thoughts of many hearts," he said, "will be revealed." People would need to choose sides. Will they choose to accept Jesus or to reject him? And ultimately, that conflict we know would lead to the arrest and the beating of Jesus and the crucifixion of Jesus and ultimately the death of Jesus. And Simeon told his parents at the very end here, we read, "A sword will pierce your own heart too." He's telling the parents that, listen, something's going to happen, some great pain is going to happen to Jesus, and it's going to pierce your own soul too. They would have a deep pain over what was to happen to Jesus in the hands of mankind. See, when God gave Jesus, it was a costly gift. It was a sacrificial gift that God gave when he gave the gift of Jesus. One of the neighborhood boys that attended Awana this fall brought in money twice to pay for his book. And I didn't really think much of it until after he had brought in this money to pay for his book 2 weeks in a row. He told me that, that was my allowance. And he had used his allowance to pay for his Awana book. That's like using your allowance to buy a school book, you know. And I was really impressed that he would do that. What a sacrifice that he made for a fifth grade boy to make that great sacrifice. I was pretty impressed and taken back. Never seen that before from a fifth grade boy. God gave sacrificially in his way, in sending Jesus in a great way as well. Jesus the Son chose to sacrifice as well. Philippians 2 tells us this about Jesus. In Philippians 2, 6 through 8, "Being in very nature God, Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage." In other words, he chose not to keep that privilege for himself. He chose not to keep that allowance for himself, but to give it up. Rather, what did he do? He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Other translations say that he emptied himself. He emptied himself. He gave up himself, in a sense. He left his privilege behind to be born as a baby on Christmas. It was a sacrificial choice. And then the end of Philippians says, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." In humility, Jesus came down to earth in all humility, emptied himself. He obeyed his Father and the Father's will, the Father's plan that had been predestined. He obeyed it all the way to death on the cross. The great sacrifice that Jesus made was the ultimate gift to us at Christmas. Please bow your heads with me and as we talk for just a moment. God took tremendous steps for you and I. It was painful and difficult for Jesus to come down to earth, to be born as a child, to grow up, to be sacrificed on the cross for your sins, to be separated from his Father during his death, and to pay the penalty for our sin. As you bow your heads, close your eyes, for some of you, perhaps this, you've never understood this great gift that God gave. And so, if it's on your heart, perhaps now you should take just a moment and tell God that you believe in his gift, Jesus Christ, who came on Christmas night to eventually die for your sins. Tell God you want to accept his gift of Jesus, believe and follow him the rest of your days. I'll just give you a moment to say that in your heart. For some here, you know the pain of being separated from loved ones, those that have passed before you. And God knows your pain too, as he separated. He emptied himself, the great pain of being separated when he died on the cross. And for those of you, maybe if you've experienced that pain, maybe now you just take a moment to express to the Lord, your God, who understands you, who has experienced that himself. And allow his comfort to embrace you. I'll give you just a moment for that. And for the rest of you, just take a moment to worship the Lord privately before we pass the candles. Reflect personally on the gift that God gave for you. Worship him as the wise men did. Worship the child. The greatest, most costliest gift ever given to you was given by God, Jesus Christ. tomorrow, when you open your gifts, remember that the first gift ever given on Christmas was from God. Remember that it was an indescribable gift, Jesus Christ, given out of love, well planned in advance, the best that God had to give. And the cost was great, and he was given for you, that you might have a restored relationship with God for all eternity. Amen. You may blow out your candles. Please enjoy us for some light refreshments in Fellowship Hall. And then if you're able to, come back in the morning. We're going to have a very small gathering around the manger, worshiping our King at 10 a.m. back here tomorrow morning, Christmas Day. Thank you for coming. All right, so you can sing one stanza. Sing one, or just play one stanza of Joy to the World.
Yeah, sure.